Welcome back to another episode of the Nutrition Q&A. So we received 5 key questions in our latest Q&A session on our Boxing Science Nutrition Instagram. And I'm going to talk through these in more detail. Question 1 was, when is the best time to have snacks during the day? What we do is we try and plan our athletes' training week. And also, we speak to them in detail about key points of maybe when they're most hungry in the day, and also maybe certain sessions which they find harder than others, where they feel they may be lacking energy. And then it's at these key points where we want to try and make sure that we can have some snacks to, one, increase energy levels in training, and then, two, to reduce hunger in the day. The main key times of these are usually high-carb pre-training snack before sparring sessions or evening high-intensity training sessions. So usually between lunch and dinner, around say 4 or 5pm. And usually we want these snacks to be quite high in carbohydrates, around probably 1 gram per kilogram of carbohydrates per body mass, and relatively moderate to lower fibre. So some options would be some brown toast with a bit of banana and peanut butter. It could be a couple of Weetabix with some skim milk and some fruit and yogurt. Or it could be kind of a wholemeal bagel with a bit of cream cheese and sliced turkey. Another key area where many people struggle with hunger is late at night. So especially after they've had dinner. Usually when you're sitting down and you've finished training for the day and you're starting to chill out and watch TV, this is where hunger does increase. Especially if you've been under-eating earlier in the day. And this is what many boxers do. So I like to give a lot of boxers a snack before they go to bed in the evening, around, say, 9, 10pm, or an hour before they go to bed. Now, this is for multiple reasons. First reason is it's going to help reduce hunger and stop fridge picking or cupboard picking. So usually when people do get a bit of a hunger drive and they may be wanting something sweet, we try and plan a snack in here so they are still sticking to their daily energy requirements. 2, we know this can help recovery overnight, especially if it's high in protein and also it's got some antioxidants in there. So some key snacks we would use at this time is maybe some frozen cherries with a bit of Greek yogurt and either with a bit of honey or dark chocolate. It could be some cottage cheese on a couple of rice cakes. It could even just be some kind of meat or some fish-based protein. Could be a tin of tuna with a bit of avocado, depending on if people like it sweet or savoury. And we usually try and plan this around an hour before bed. And some foods which can probably help sleep alongside this protein snack are cherries and kiwis. And these can help sleep because they are quite high in melatonin and tryptophan. There's been some studies by Lin et al., then also Glenn Howardson, which does show that it can reduce that sleep onset latency, so helping you fall asleep quicker. So a good strategy might be if you are getting hungry in an evening and also you're struggling to sleep, try and get some high protein snack in there, such as a Greek yogurt, and combine it with some cherries or mixed berries and a bit of kiwis to help have a little bit of sweetness before you go to bed, but then also help that sleep for recovery.
You know, at Boxing Science, we're very data driven, whether that's testing or training, we're always looking to optimize performance. We also take the same approach with our video content. That's why recently we've been doing a range of different content for you that's been really popular to see how we can implement Boxing Science training methods into your training environment. And part of that research, we've actually found out very interesting fact from people that watch this video. Only 32% of people that watch this video actually subscribe to the channel. So that means that a massive of 68% of you that are watching aren't actually subscribing. So I'd like to ask you a quick favour, if you could hit that subscribe button, that'll really help grow the channel so we can bring you even more content to help take your training and coaching to the next level.
Question 2 was, why does my weight go up at the start of fight week? Now, this is not usual. With many boxers we work with, we usually see their weight drop down at the start of fight week. Now, if your weight is going up, I'm predicting a couple of things what's happening. Number 1 is, you're probably eating the wrong type of foods. So you're probably going for lower calorie, higher fibre foods, thinking it's going to drop weight quicker because you're in a bigger calorie deficit. Now in the final week, we are wanting to drop weight, not necessarily body fat. We're targeting to drop body fat for the 9, 10 to 12 weeks previous before the final week. And then we want to flip it on its head. Now we are aiming to try and lose weight, especially out of the gut contents. So if you are choosing really high fibre foods, such as things like carrot sticks with hummus, or maybe a big chicken kind of salad, a lot of fresh fruit, which is high in water and fibre, such as like pineapple and apple, so some lower calorie foods. This is going to add weight to your stomach, And therefore, next day, you're going to probably wake up heavier. And this will actually cause a big episode of a bit of fear of stepping on the scale. Another reason it could be going up is training load usually reduces going into fight week. So I predict is if you've had the weekend off and you are doing less training, but you haven't really altered your diet in a way, your body is probably holding on to a bit more water, especially glycogen in the muscles, because you've done less training that weekend. This is going to cause your weight to be a bit higher at the start of the week. Or we would say is you want to tailor your nutrition to your training. So if that weekend you are doing lighter training, you probably want to alter your nutrition slightly to make sure your weight is in a good place to start fight week. What I would say is though, this might not just be body fat. Your problem weight just might be because of that food and that water in your muscles. So if you do fix your diet at the start of the week, you can make up that time. So it's important to actually plan your nutrition alongside your training heading into that final week of training towards your fight. Question 3 is, how do I stay energized during a weight cut? A weight cut as we are approaching the weigh-in can take a lot out of fighters. The reason for this is because they are usually on low calorie diets heading into the final week, and they're probably doing excessive training to try and lose the weight, such as doing long runs or maybe doing pad sessions, or they are basically taxing their body to too high heat so that they are probably in their sauna or they are doing this big sweatsuit run. Now, this heat training does actually increase metabolic rate. So then what's happening is your body's using a lot more energy to try and lose this weight, but you're not feeding the body. Therefore, common symptoms of this would be feeling lightheaded, feeling a bit dizzy and nauseous as you're standing, and also just feeling really tired and lethargic and not wanting to move. Now, this is where we flip the diet on its head. We actually want to give our athletes a bit more energy on fight week with the right foods. So therefore, they are having plenty of energy going into the fight week, especially through some good fats and a lot of protein, and having these at regular intervals throughout the day. Now, we are keen on having 3 meals and maybe a couple of snacks heading into fight week, and having these on a daily basis, just to make sure that our blood sugar levels and our energy levels are maintained throughout. What many will do is they will start to drop food out. So therefore, they are having less feedings of protein and less feedings of food, which is going to cause their blood sugar to drop and their energy levels. And then they're trying to overtrain that week to lose the remaining weight. And this is a recipe for disaster. And basically what's going to happen is you're likely not only just going to go into the weight cut drained and tired, it could have a knock-on effect into the fight. So it's really important that we still feed our body in that fight week in the right way, but making sure that in the weeks previous, we've been eating the right foods so we can do this change to make sure we can get you onto the scales in the best shape as possible, making sure that we are not weight drained.
Okay guys, quick interruption again. Just to tell you more about our Boxing Science Mentorship. This online mentorship has been something that we've been wanting to work towards for the last few years to help develop coaches, S&C coaches, personal trainers, maybe even athletes to help accelerate their career. If you're wanting to improve your knowledge of boxing science training methods and strength and conditioning development, if you're wanting to become a better coach, or you're wanting to elevate your profile in terms of business and social media and to get more clients, this mentorship is ideal for you. We're going to be sharing our experiences and knowledge that we've acquired over the last 10 years of developing the Boxing Science as a business, but also the consultancy program that has seen over hundreds of professional boxers, amateurs, all the way through to world champions. In this mentorship, we've got a range of different exclusive webinars. We've got our live Q&As, we've got a group discussion, and also we've got packages that allow for one-to-one bespoke mentoring. Really passionate about this mentorship. We've put a lot into it. We're going to be getting guest speakers and everything to give you a unique learning experience to help accelerate your career, to become the best coach that you can be, and also take your business to the next level. If you've got any questions about it, send me an email, dannywilson@boxingscience.co.uk, and we can schedule a call where I can tell you more about the details around the Boxing Science Mentorship.
Question 4 was nutrition for Ramadan. What are the best foods to eat to maintain muscle? And how much and when are the best times to have carbohydrates in the diet? Now, Ramadan does have many challenges for athletes, and especially weight-making athletes who have a fight shortly after Ramadan. This means that they are probably having to fast in Ramadan while still watching what they eat and their calorie intake. So they are still losing weight throughout Ramadan to make weight after. Now, we do have a few of these athletes currently, but we are working with quite closely. And these are some things which we are doing. We want to make sure that our athletes are getting at least 3 feedings in whilst they are fasted. And usually this is at Sahur. So usually before sunrise in the morning, before the sun comes up. And this is usually around the morning prayers, around 4:30 a.m. And usually this meal, we want quite high fiber and high carbohydrates whilst having some slow release protein. And what this is going to do, it's going to make sure that the athlete is feeling a bit full of energy and also increasing their satiety and reducing hunger for when they are fasting in the day. The next time they will eat is usually at iftar. This is when they break their fast when sun sets. Now at iftar, what we do with our athletes is we plan quite a quick to make snack, which is quite high GI carbohydrates, as well as having some good electrolytes in there to help rehydrate alongside fluid. Now we want these high GI carbohydrates because it's one, it's going to increase their energy levels straight away when they are really most hungry. But two, in conjunction with the strength and conditioning plan, we usually plan some high intensity sessions at this point. And the reason for that is they can have a little snack to give them a bit of energy to do a bit of a HIIT session or maybe a hard boxing session. And then when they come home, they can have their third feeding, which is usually a whole food meal. And this is probably the biggest meal in terms of food volume of the day. And it's going to contain carbohydrates, proteins and fats. They can have this to help them recover from training, but also to help them sleep for a bit before Sahur. Now, in terms of protein amounts, there is some studies recently by Tromlin in 2023, which actually showed that you can still absorb around 100 grams of protein if you're having that in one feeding. Now, they did use milk protein for this and not food, and we wouldn't usually advise going as high as 100 grams. But what it does show you is you can have a higher protein feeding than you think of maybe the usual term of 20 grams. You can have this in 3 feedings. So usually we are aiming around 40 to maybe 60 grams of protein in those 3 feedings at Sahur, at Iftar, and then also in that whole food meal before you go to bed. Now, the most important thing of protein is hitting your total daily protein intake. And this is usually around 2 grams per kilogram per day. Sometimes it can go up to around 2.5 grams. So if you're 60 kilos, this is around 120 grams of protein per day. Now, as long as we are hitting this total daily protein intake, that is the most important thing. And getting these into those 3 feedings is certainly going to help recovery. It's going to help reduce hunger as well. It's going to be really important. In terms of the total amount of carbohydrates, same again, it is the total daily amount which is the most important. Now, if you are trying to make weight in recent weeks, usually a number what we go to is around 3 grams per kilogram, depending on how much exercise you are doing. Now, a good strategy would be to have 1 gram per kilogram of carbohydrates at Sahur, 1 gram per kilogram of carbohydrates at iftar as you're breaking that fast with that high GI snack, and then 1 gram per kilogram of carbohydrates after you've done a session in the evening and before you go to bed. In terms of rest days, you might want to lower your carbohydrate intake slightly and maybe go a bit less than this, especially if you're not doing much in terms of training and likely your energy output is going to be really low during Ramadan. So it's going to be a lot of sitting about and resting. So maybe dropping this carbohydrate intake towards that 2 gram per kilogram, maybe a bit less, would be advisable if you are making weight soon. The last question in this episode of the Nutrition Q&A is, I can't lose weight, but I'm on a 1,000 calorie deficit per day. Why? Now, there's going to probably be multiple reasons for this. Number one, it could be you have been in a calorie deficit for that long that actually your body has started to slow down. This is what they call adaptive thermogenesis. Now, what happens is if you are constantly on a calorie deficit for a long period of time, your body gets used to it and it will start to slow down. Its metabolic rate may drop, but also the movement may drop within your body. They call this NEAT energy expenditure. So think about fidgeting and just moving around the house. What you tend to do is when you're dieting on low energy, your body wants to preserve it and help you to slow down. Therefore, you move less in terms of fidgeting. So what may be happening is if you're on this calorie deficit for so long, your body is actually slowing down in terms of fidgeting and movement and energy expenditure. You also might have feelings of actually feeling cold and having cold hands and feet and wearing more layers of clothing than usual. If this is the case, it's probably important to take a couple of steps back to go forwards. Now, this could be having a little refeed of a bit higher energy and carbohydrates for a few days to help try and restore this bit of movement. And two, it might be a time where we need to reverse diet or go into a bit of a gaining, maintaining phase. Now, if this means that your fight maybe needs to get cancelled or pushed back, it's probably the right decision for the long term if you are really struggling. Another reason why you might not be losing weight on a 1,000 calorie deficit is you could actually be overestimating your energy expenditure and underestimating your calorie intake, especially if you're not tracking it properly. There is a lot of calorie trackers now and apps on phones and software, but some of these do differ. And also, if you are doing it yourself and maybe eating out at restaurants, we know that the government guidance is, in terms of estimating calories, restaurants or nutrition labels can have a 20% error. It may not seem much, but if you're having a 600 calorie meal, this could be the difference of having 720 calories or having less or even slightly more, depending on how big of a meal you're having or how calorific it is. Now, if you're doing this on a frequent basis, these 120 calories may add up over time, which is going to stop you being in that calorie deficit per week of that 3,600 calories we want to drop that 1 pound of body fat. Also, you could be underestimating your energy expenditure. With our athletes, we do get them to wear a heart rate monitor. We do this for two reasons. One is to track their heart rate in terms of physiology to make sure they are working hard enough, but also to get a rough value of how many calories they are expending per session. And we can use this as a little equation to look at energy expenditure and energy intake. Now, what happens is the more training we do and the lighter we become, the more efficient we become. So actually, we start using less calories per session than we did when we were heavier. So this could have a couple of reasons that your heart rate monitor, in terms of the energy you're expending in sessions, is maybe telling you it's more higher than actually what it's currently doing. Now, there is some research on this. And actually, it's been shown that this estimation can be as high as 30%. This could mean that actually in a session where it's saying you're burning 1,000 calories, actually you might only be burning 700. And if you're doing this on a consistent basis throughout the week, say I want to do sessions a day, 5-6 sessions per week, this could be another reason why that your 1,000 calorie deficit is maybe out of sync and it's even not as high as you think. Certain scenarios for this, what we would say is, in terms of your heart rate data, it's really important that you input a maximum heart rate from a maximum heart rate test, such as a VO2 max or such as, let's say, a bleep test. These are some tests which we do at Boxing Science to make sure we do get a maximum heart rate value so we can make sure that their heart rate monitors are accurate. So if you are wearing a heart rate monitor and you are tracking this heart rate data and energy expenditure and you haven't done a maximum heart rate test, I certainly would say to do it. Because we do know from research, this does actually increase the reliability and the reproducibility of the heart rate monitor for the energy expenditure and the heart rate data. Thanks for listening to this episode of Nutrition Q&A. If you've got any more questions, please send us a direct message on Boxing Science Nutrition Instagram. Keep a lookout for when we do Q&A sessions on our Instagram page, of which we will do at least once per month. Thank you.